The disagreement over interrogations is obviously not the way the White House had envisioned the issue playing out. Republicans were hoping to use it with an eye toward the elections as one that set them apart from the Democrats. The setback interrupted what had been a pretty good week for the Republican Party. NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson joins me now. And Mara, Republican strategists have long seen the war on terror as a winning issue. They hope to put Democrats on the defensive about how to deal with the prisoners, but they seem to have a vision of a united party behind them, not what they saw this week.
That's right. The White House has spent the last month trying to reposition the debate over terrorism. They did want to set up a clean debate with Democrats over who's tougher on terror. They were hoping to be able to say that Democrats were against wiretapping terrorists and that the Democrats wanted to give terrorist defendants special rights in the courtroom. Instead, they've hit a speed bump, and at least for now, they're fighting with some very respected members of their own party on this. But I should add that Democrats do not seem to be rising to the bait either. They seem to prefer not to engage directly on these issues, rather than getting drawn into the kind of fight they had in 2002, the last midterm elections, when Democrats voted again and again against the Department of Homeland Security over the issue of civil service collective bargaining rules, and that allowed Republicans to paint them back then as somehow soft on terrorism. That doesn't appear to be happening this time. They're going to cede both these issues.
Mara, the whole atmosphere in this debate seemed to shift this week with that letter written by Colin Powell, and I'm wondering how that changed the calculus here. How did that change the discomfort felt by the White House on this issue?
Well, I'm sure it increased it. I mean, Colin Powell is still one of the most respected figures in American public life. When he was in office, he was a team player. He kept his dissents private, and that makes his letter on the tribunals even more powerful.
The Republicans, even so, seem to have some good news this week in their battle to retain control of Congress. The president's polling numbers were up a notch, and the party got the candidate they backed in that race in Rhode Island.
That's right. The landscape is still tilted against the Republicans, but I would say from talking to a lot of Republicans this week, they're not as grim and panicky as they were before the August recess. Back then, there was open talk about losing both houses of Congress. Now, I would say Republicans fully expect to lose seats in the House and Senate, but they believe they have a chance to maintain their majorities. And there are several reasons for that. First, as you said, the president's poll numbers have begun to tick up a bit. Republicans are also regaining their edge with voters on the question of which party can do better on national security issues. And there's something else that Republican Party leaders outside the Beltway say is very important, and that is gas prices are coming down. And that was really at the heart of the public's disapproval of the president and the Republicans' handling of the economy. It's been a prime source of voter anger. And although the country is still in a pretty sour mood and very unhappy with Congress, in the last round of primaries, Republicans say they were relieved not to see evidence of a huge anti-incumbent tide. The fact that Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island was able to survive his primary, of course, is Exhibit A.
And I want to talk to you about that race in Rhode Island where the incumbent Lincoln Chafee pulled out a victory. Good news for the party, but not necessarily good news for conservatives.
Well, conservatives are unhappy about that. The White House did run a very tough, blistering campaign against Steve Laffey, the conservative challenger to Chafee, someone who, I should point out, agreed with the president on almost every issue, where Chafee, the incumbent they were protecting, disagreed with him on the war, tax cuts, even on voting for him for re-election. But in an election year, holding on to the Senate always trumps ideological purity. But that did leave some conservatives, particularly in Rhode Island, angry. It remains to be seen if they'll stay home in November. But on a national level, what strikes me in talking to conservatives and Republicans this week is how the Rhode Island race sent a very different kind of message, a positive message. And it's this. The RNC in the White House proved that it was able to pick Link Chafee's campaign up by the scruff of its neck and heave it over the finish line. And they did it by using a very sophisticated get-out-the-vote program, and that sends a message to other Republican candidates that the party can do this for them, too.
That was NPR's Mara Liasson. Thanks so much, Mara.
Thank you, Michelle.